All right, gentlemen, I wanted to speak about something else. I wanted to speak about something else this morning, but something happened on Friday to the Jewish world, to the religious Zionist world, and to my world. My Rebbe and mentor, Rav Amital, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, passed away, and it hit me very hard for various reasons. And in his memory, I wanted to share with you an idea that I heard from him, and I think it's an idea that's overlooked, which really goes to his personality, that sometimes he did simple things that were overlooked by others. You know, one of the problems we have as intellectuals, quote unquote, is that when tragedy strikes, we try to intellectualize and analyze and conceptualize and eventually give these learned answers as to why something happened, and to try already to think about how we're going to get out of it and what's going to be the aftermath of it, etc., etc. God forbid there's a terrorist attack. So you go on the news and you see our politicians and our rabbis and our leaders and lay leaders, and all they're talking about is why it happened, security breaches and whatnot, how we're going to fix it, what are we supposed to do in memory of the person that was slain. And that's basically the rhetoric we hear when a tragedy strikes. What's missing from all that?
How to deal with the tragedy itself on that day.
No. You're getting close, though.
You know, we had that in 1974.
You're getting very close.
1994, there was a terrorist attack like a day before Purim.
Yeah.
And everybody, and the chief rabbi never came out and said, tomorrow's Purim, this is what you should or shouldn't do. I mean, because you're dealing with two things, a day of mourning for the terrorist attack, and you're dealing with Purim. And how do you, what's the appropriate...
Maybe.
But you see, that question of Purim, terrorist attack, what's appropriate and what's not, is a question that's already five steps ahead of what the initial reaction, I believe, as human beings.
Maybe
the mourning for the attack, the mourning for the attack.
Talk about the people that were killed.
You're all getting closer. You're all getting closer. Gentlemen, you're overlooking something.
He's smart.
When a little boy gets hurt, what does he say?
Mommy.
Ouch. Ouch.
I said mommy.
Mommy. Ouch. Initial reaction is, what happened is terrible. What happened is awful. What happened is something that hurts. Yes, it has many ramifications. It has ramifications politically, has ramifications religiously, has endless ramifications. But right now, a person gets hurt, the initial reaction should be terrible. Terrible! That will deal with all the ramifications. And if there's one person that taught me this, is Rav Amital. My Rebbe, Rav Amital, taught me that when something bad happens, first identify with how bad it is. Then you'll go on. Don't go to the fifth step and say, you know why the Holocaust happened? Because of this. The Holocaust was awful. There was a terrorist attack. It is terrible. Another Jew has been taken from the world. Period. Then go on to the five steps afterwards. And we see this in our tradition, in many places, but let me quote to you from the world we're living in.
But what does he mean?
The kinos. Let's see. The first kina, one second, the first kina on the night of Tisha B'Av. We start Tisha B'Av, we read Eicha. What's the first kina? Have you ever looked at it? Okay, let me show you the first kina. The first kina on Tisha B'Av, okay? We just finished Eicha, we're sitting on the floor, we're saying the first kina of Tisha B'Av, okay? We're sitting on the floor, and the first kina is like this. Zachor Hashem mehayalanu, oi, habita revere cherpatenu, oi mehayalanu. What does oi mean? Three-letter word. I usually don't say three-letter words in public, but it's in the kina, so I'm allowed to say it. What's oi? No? Two oy. Letters. Oi means terrible. Awful. Look what happened. Nachalateinu nefcha lezarim. Our inheritance has become in the hands of what? Zarim?
Zarim is foreigners.
Foreigners.
Externals.
Oi. The Baal HaKina did something very strange. He took the last chapter of Eicha, chapter 5, copied it, and just added in, after every few words, the word oi. You see what he did? You got to be a ganze genius to do this, right? A ganze kunst he pulled off over here. Copied, put in the word oi, and ha, you see? Created a kina. What's the idea? Whoever made this kina obviously knew what he was doing. I knew we would get on to him. Because all we got to do is look a chapter before. As a matter of fact, we finish chapter 5 and we read this kina. So chapter 5 starts with the words, Achor Hashem mehayalanu, remember what happened to us, Nachalatenu nefchal azarim. Third verse, Yotomim hayinu ve'ein av, we were ultimately, Yotomim, person without a father.
Orphaned,
and we have no father. No, third stanza here, Yotomim hayinu ve'ein av. So he copied chapter 5, he just inserted the word oy after every few words, and oy mehayalanu, oy, how terrible it was. What's the idea over here? Because this kina has been accepted by all, at least the Ashkenazic Jews, as the first kina we say as we get into experience Tisha B'Av. We finished Eicha, the first kina, we copy chapter 5, we add in the word oy after every 5 words, and this is our kina. The idea, in my opinion, is very simple. You're now going through an entire Tisha B'Av. You're going to have, within the kinos, national ramifications of why of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, political ramifications, religious ramifications, it's all in there. What's the first initial feeling you should have?
It's terrible.
It's awful. It's awful. I know there's many ramifications, and I'm an intellectual, but right now, at this moment, it is awful. Number one. Number two, it also has ramifications. But number one, it's awful. And that's what I think is missing from many of the, God forbid, eulogies we hear, and many of the initial reactions I've heard throughout the generations when tragedy strikes. We jump to the fifth step. I'm not kidding you. I was once, unfortunately, in a shiva home. Not in a shiva home. I was at the deathbed of someone. He just died. He breathed his last. And the first thing out of the mouth of the son-in-law to the three daughters were, you gotta divide up the estate equal Stephen. You don't want fights, just, I don't care what the will says, divide it up equal Stephen. And they're all shaking their heads. Yeah, this is what we should do. What step would you put that in the degradation of steps?
Last?
Yeah, but
third? Maybe even second. You know, the Gemara in Brachos says that when, God forbid, tragedy strikes, you're supposed to say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and you can even say Shechianu or Tova HaMeitiv, excuse me. Why? Dayan HaEmes, because a terrible tragedy strike, your father died, and Tova HaMeitiv, you're getting a Yerusha, it'll be good for you and your family. So let's take it second step. But the first step is Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and that's what I believe was missing. And many times when tragedy strikes, and I learned this from Rav Amital once, when Robin was killed, so there was a certain get-together of a religious Zionist community. And he went there, and Rav Drukman was there, and everyone was there. Then he came to the yeshiva and he explained what he did there. And the first thing he said, I'll never forget, he says, Davar Rishon, I wanted to scream Gevalt. It's a terrible thing, a Jew kills a Jew. Number two, there's ramifications. And the ramifications we can debate about. Who, what, where, what should we do, what shouldn't we do? Our fault, not our fault. This guy was a religious Zionist. He wasn't. Bar Ilan's at fault, not at fault. Of course! But the first initial step has to be oy. More than that, gentlemen, if you look further, you could find something else that I think is very crucial and important. In the morning of Tisha B'Av, we do exactly the same thing. We have keynote that ultimately just talk about the tragedy. They don't say, because there was a tragedy, therefore religiously it means something. There was a tragedy, period. There was a tragedy, period. One of the keynote begins with the words...
I have to come right back.
Yeah. One of the keynote begins with the words... Eicha atzta be'apecha. How could you do this, God? How can you allow non-Jews come into the Beis HaMikdash, and how can you do this and that? And then it says, and you didn't remember the contract you signed with the Jewish people. That's a kina that already goes a step further. It doesn't talk about the fact that there was a tragedy. It goes a step further. And God, you're at fault. You shouldn't have allowed this to happen.
He did remember the contract. The contract was two-sided. We discussed this. It was an if-then contract.
Not so simple. Not so simple. But the bottom line is, we have keynotes in Tisha B'Av that talk about the political reality that happened after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. We have keynotes that talk about the religious reality. We have to have a keynote that begins with the word oy. And when a tragedy strikes, the first thing you're supposed to do is say, this is awful. This is terrible. Then you'll reconcile it. You'll think about it. You'll try to bring it within your life, within your lifestyle. And this is, by the way, coded in Jewish law, and I'll end with this. What's the first thing that happens after a person dies? Your relative. What's the first thing that happens? You're now called?
Onen.
Onen. What's an onen?
Pater from all mitzvot.
Pater from all mitzvot, asay. Pater from all positive commandments. He can't eat pig, on the other hand, he doesn't put on tefillin. What is that all about?
Well, what I've come to understand is that you need the time, the precious time from the time of death to the Levaya to prepare.
You are absolutely correct. The Gemara says that the reason for that is that you need time to prepare the funeral. So the question is aroused today. What happens if the funeral is prepared? But let's say you're not even in town. You're flying in. You have nothing to prepare. You're flying in from America to Israel. You're going to arrive at the funeral. You got nothing to prepare. You get a ticket. That's it. Or even in Israel. You're living in Israel. What do you got to do? Call to Chevra Kedisha. Finished. So is there still Aninu today? Machlokes Rishonim. Two views in Tosfos. One view, which seems to be the majority view, seems to say it makes no difference. You're still an Onen. So what is Aninut all about if you don't have to physically prepare?
Well, you've got to prepare emotionally.
Psychologically, the first and initial reaction is, this is awful. This is terrible. A human life ends. Why would you invest in something that ends? Imagine if you just bought a home and you took a large mortgage and you know that in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, that home is going to rumble and fall. You wouldn't invest in it. So why invest in life at all? Why do mitzvot? Why have kids? We're all going to die one day. So it's a terrible time, that initial reaction. And it's not the time to create a relationship with God. And therefore, you don't do mitzvot aseh. That's the initial reaction. Then, after you say the oy, the gevalt, comes aveilut. And aveilut is you're not yet part of the world. You're in your home. But you're slowly, again, refurbishing, reinventing your relationship with people, Shiva calls, and with God, you again a chayiv in mitzvos, slowly. But there has to be that degradation. You can't start right away with, let's divide up the Yerusha equals Stephen. You have to start with, this is awful, this is terrible. So when a funeral happens and a guy is asked to give a eulogy, the first and foremost reaction has to be, this is awful, a Jew died. Then it could say, not only is it awful that a Jew died, but a special Jew died. And then the third sentence can be, not only a special Jew died, but a special Jew was a father and a husband and a grandfather, etc. But the first initial reaction has to be, this is awful, this is terrible. Then you talk about the ramifications. When I was in yeshiva, I had mono. I don't know if you know what mono is, but it's not a fun sickness to have. You're very tired. So I tried very hard to retain a schedule, but you sleep so much, you're barely there. So I remember telling Rav Amital that I'm not going to be here so much, I have mono. And his first reaction was a sour face, oh, you should feel better. And the second reaction is, well, how are you dividing your time? Not the first reaction, oh, are you here or are you there? First reaction has to be, this is awful. And that's the first reaction we have on Tisha B'Av night. This is awful. What we just read about in Echa is terrible. It's awful what happened to us. Then we can talk about whose fault it was. God or us. Dr. Sevier says, our fault. We signed a contract. We violated the contract. Breach of contract is not one-sided. There are keynotes that say that. On the other hand, there are keynotes that suggest, hey, you signed a contract with us. No one said it was two-sided. You're obligated, God, to the contract, even though we violated it. Or, you know what? You're not totally obligated to it, but you're obligated a little bit. How come you destroyed the everything? Yes, all that is there, but the first kina that we're going to say on Tisha B'Av night has one word in it. Oy. It's terrible what happened. Then we go on to everything else.
Actually, you know, we just...